Welcome to the CEN Show, the platform where we learn from the world community. I'm your host, Rosaki Mascani, and on the panel this evening, we have Ernest McBride Jr., Brother Ahi, Brother Mashinda, Professor Amin Ra, Brother Iweze, Dr. Sharita, and Brother Iration. I'd like to thank everyone for coming out this evening. Our guest for this evening is Damian McCalman. He's been on our show at least 5 times, and he always has interesting topics. So I'm going to go straight to Damian. Welcome back, Damian. Thanks for coming. You can get started with your presentation.
All right. Thanks for having me again. It's always a pleasure hanging out with you all. Just for those of you that don't know, as he said, my name is Damian McCalman. I work for a nonprofit organization facilitating mentoring programs in Compton and Long Beach. I've been doing that now for, 12 years. I'm 47 years old, just so you know. So I think I'm young still. But when I agreed to come on the show, I was trying to think of topics. And what I decided to do was sort of facilitate a mentoring program-like atmosphere with you all here. What I do in the schools is just bring different conversations to the students and just have them share their thoughts on them. And one of the ones that I've been doing now for probably 10 years is on values. And, you know, those of you guys who might have listened to hip hop in the 90s, there was a song called Money, Power, Respect. Who did that? Bad Boy did it, but it was a popular song. So I've took that over the years and said, okay, I want you guys to rank these in order of most important to you. And what I found out is that it brought about great conversations with young boys and girls. One year over in Long Beach, we invited some of the men administrators to come in and to share their thoughts with the boys on the topic. And that sparked a whole other conversation, young man versus young man values and why they saw it as such. So what we're gonna do tonight, is have that conversation with you all in the same way that I would do it with them. It's gonna be simple questions on how you value the 5 things that I'm gonna give you. So we can show slide 1, which is just, you're gonna see a bunch of slides with definitions of value systems. And I think they're pretty cool just to see the difference in them. You can go with any one of them that says a value system is this, and you'll see that on your screen. But I'm gonna give you the 5 now. Honor, love, money, power, respect. So as we're talking about the definitions of value systems, I want you to think of those 5. Love, honor, love, money, power, respect. I'm giving to you in alphabetical order. Honor, love, money, power, respect. And just as you are, you can throw it in the chat if you want. Rank them 1 through 5. 1 being the most important, 5 being the least important. Honor, love, money, power, respect. And as I would do with the students in class, I'm not giving you a definition of what these things are to you, because they can mean different things to you, and that's perfectly fine. I just want you to rank them of most important to least important in your mind. And again, like I tell the students, nobody's wrong. You know what I mean? Because this is your value system. But can you share it? Can you tell us why, you know, you rank them as you do? And like I tell the students, be open to change your mind, because you could hear something about one of the 5 and say, you know what, that makes sense. And I'm open to change. Right. And I've done that over the years. And like I said, it's great conversations, and the students, the boys and girls, I've seen some of them change their mind. They were set on their top 5 in their order, but someone said something else that made them say, hey, I never thought about it like that. so I want to change mine. And that's perfectly okay. Because as I was doing some research, it was saying value systems are really in flux. We might think that they are set in stone, but it was like, as we're learning and growing, he was like, your value system can change just like that, even though we might think they're solid. And I'll explain it even in my sense. Here are your five again. Honor, love, money, power, respect. That's just in alphabetical order. Let's do this first. Value systems are the set of cultural and moral values that a person, let me change mine, can have, or a group has. A value system is a system of established values and norms and goals existing in society. All right, you can go to the next slide. I'm gonna try that. And it could be any one of the ones with those definitions. I'm okay with that.
Value systems.
I'll say anyone with a bunch of words. And you're just gonna, our guests are just gonna get theirs in order now. You can Google definitions of these words. You can come up with your own definition. I'm gonna give you, as he's looking for the one, minds have changed recently. So we did, let me see, we did that one. So we can just go to the next and see what we got. Honor, love. All right, so let me see. Actually, you know what? Let's do that. As you throw them in the chat, we can read them. So first one to come through, love, honor, respect, money, power. Love, honor, respect, money, power. I don't want to mess up your name, but can you, what we're going to do, this is an open conversation. So can you unmute yourself and share just why you put them in that order?
Hey, greetings. Greetings, everybody.
Greetings.
Greetings, Professor Ra, Rasa Key.
Greetings.
Mr. McBride. Let's see here. I put it in the order based on my own experiences and my own value system. For me, love is number one because it's one of the most powerful forces in the universe, in my opinion. I believe that God is love. And so, you know, my first inclination is towards my creator. And if I believe that God is love, then, you know, I obviously got to put that as number one. Through love, with love, we can work out our problems if we got problems. But if we love each other, we're patient with one another and so forth. So, you know, love goes a long way. Secondly, I would put honor because I think it's just good to be an overall human being, a good human being. You have to have some type of honor about yourself. You have to be an honorable person in society, you know, in order to get respect. So that's why I put respect after honor. Well, you know, other people might feel like, well, hey, if you got money, then you get respect. But, but for me, I think a more higher way of being is to pursue honor, you know, being a person of your word, fulfilling your promises and so forth. And that through that, you'll get respect. I put money as number four because, you know, it's important. It's important. But I would put it in front of power more so because I don't feel like we need power in the way that we need money. Mm-hmm. We need money in order to, you know, to eat, to survive, to get from point A to point B, you know, to go to the grocery store, to sustain ourselves. So that's why I put money before power.
Nice.
So that's my order.
Nice. I appreciate it. And like you said, it's what I've seen over the years is I just did this last month, and I had the boys were like going hard over where they place money. You know what I mean? And you know, I spent most of the day or the time trying to say, hey, it's okay. That's your value. It doesn't have to be his, you know what I mean? But it's a cool conversation. It's a cool way just to share your value system. And I appreciate you sharing your thoughts with it, because that's what it's all about, trying to get your value system out. I'm going to read another statement about value systems. I can see them. It says, these beliefs, value systems guide a person's decisions and actions, influencing their behavior and providing a framework for consistent and expected actions. It says, these beliefs, however your beliefs are, guide a person's decisions and actions, influencing their behavior and providing a framework for consistent and expected actions. So however you do it, like, this is your framework. Can you, like I tell the boys, can you speak to it? Can you tell us why? Whatever your values are, like he just did, just, this is why love is one. This is why I'm putting money over power, right? We got to know that. And it's a great way to have conversation with people about your value system. And I'm only giving you five. So again, you know, for you guys, you can either throw it in the chat, or just, you know, unmute yourself and share what your ranking is, how you place them, what's important in your life. It's pretty cool to see it in the chat. So I think that'll be a great way to do it. I got another one come through, and you know, I see you. So go ahead and unmute yourself and share us your order and why.
Talking to me?
Yes.
Okay. Honor. I say, if you honor yourself and those around you, it opens the door for those other four. Respect. I put that second because right in front of love, because I have people who I felt respect me and treated me better than those who so-called loved me. Mm. Love, because it makes the world go round. Power, because I've seen poor people with more power than those who have money. Mm. Malcolm didn't have any money. Mm. Martin didn't have any money. Paul Robeson didn't have any money. Mm. But they had power. I put money last because it's just a tool. It could be used or misused.
Mm. I like that. I'm going to read another thing because I think it speaks to what you said. It said, value systems can be a personal, societal, or organizational, and they are often shaped by experiences, cultural influences, and moral or religious belief. And he talked about just experience. He said, I experienced people who respect me be better to me than people who said they loved me. Right. So that's his experience, and it's shaping how he valued these five. And again, like I say with our students, hey, this is yours. And you know, we respect everybody's opinion, everybody's story, even in this sense. I'm looking at this list, it's almost flipped, you know, from the first person who spoke. But that's perfectly fine. And I think that's the beauty of being individuals, the beauty of our experiences and our story and how we value things, that we can all be on the same call with different values, not different values, but different order of values, and still just get along. And that's one of the things I'm trying to teach the students. Like, we can value different things at different levels, but we can still be friends. We can still work together. We can still coexist and they're learning that now. So thank you for sharing yours with us. I'm gonna read another one. So again, if anyone wants to chime in, you can either do so just by, you know, speaking, or throw it in the chat. Go for it.
I'll go next, but you can go ahead and read the next one.
Okay, I'm gonna read the next one. It says, the value system is the coherent set of values that an individual or society holds. It encompasses the priorities and beliefs that guide actions and judgments. So now it says it encompasses the priorities and beliefs that guide our actions and judgments. So go ahead.
All right. I want to start off by saying that, you know, you're shaped by your environment and your experiences, and you develop your value system with that. You know, we've been doing this podcasting almost 5 years, and it's educationally based. And so we value education, and education is a body of knowledge that could be used to, you know, that's used for you in your lifetime. It's a tool to be educated, and we all have education. So let me start off with saying that love is number one for me. And I want to share my definition of love. And it's on the website, and it's called Love Defined. It's under Perspective Writings, and I did it with two of my colleagues at work. So there's two definitions here. One is from me and one is from one of my colleagues. So since I was the initiator, went first. So love is actions expressed by people to provide the best constructive outcomes to the entire environment where they reside. An example, if my actions have constructive outcomes to the people and physical environment around me, then I'm expressing love, if verbalized or not. Mm-hmm. And so I say love is an action word. It's a verb. Then my colleague's definition is love is a feeling that's built through actions and relations to one's values and beliefs. It is a feeling that connects your mind, body, and soul to someone who share common ground. So that's my definition of love. If I'm expressing it, I'm looking out for myself and everybody else around me. Mm-hmm. Number two is respect. Respect, I look at respect as, I'm gonna go with Neely Fuller on this, refusing to lie to yourself. Always telling yourself the truth, being totally honest with yourself. And then when you have that value within yourself, respect, self-respect, then you're able to open up and respect others. And then I went with honor as the third one. You know, that Bible quote, honor your parents so that your days may be long. It's honoring is holding myself and others in high esteem. And almost like just the highest, you know, thing that I can give to somebody is honoring them and honoring myself. It's closely related to respect. Mm-hmm. Fourth is power. I look at power is something that you have within yourself, and you have to access that. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, all five of them, well, I would say the top four is highly related. And in that power, you access that power within self, then you're able to live life the way it should be lived. In looking at it as a positive thing, not an abusive thing, to take the power within you and try to dominate others, but to empower others just like you're empowering yourself, sharing that power. Mm-hmm. And then last is money. Just like Brother Ahi said, it's a tool, and it's controlled. Money in economics is controlled by the power structure. So you, it's a tool that you need to know how to deal with in order to assist your living. Mm. And that'll be all.
Awesome. I appreciate your definition for love. and I do so much because I think, with my mom passing, we didn't grow up in a house where we ever said, I love you. But the actions were enough to where it was never in doubt. And I think, my wife and I'm married now, so her family says it all the time. And we would talk about it. And I'm like, it's weird to hear y'all say it, because I was so brought up in just actions. Like I told people, like, I've never heard my mom say that I can remember. She probably did once or twice, but I know I can't remember a time where I said it, because that wasn't her. If you say it to her, she'd be like, all right, get out of here with that. Just show it. You know what I mean? Like, as a child, just be obedient. Just do what I told you to do. You know, all those other stuff. So when I saw your definition, I tell people a lot that we didn't say it much and they find it weird, but I'm like, it was shown every single day. So there's no doubt. And even, I think there's a Bible verse that says, love not just in word, but in deed. So it's like, we gotta do the actions. A lot of people say it. So I love your list. I appreciate your definition.
I would like to say also, I came up in a household where it wasn't verbalized, but you knew that it was there because of the care that we were getting. Yeah. And we had that roof, food, we had the basic necessities. and people only could do with what they know. And evidently my parents didn't grow up in the homes where, the words was verbalized. So
yeah.
I understand where you're coming from.
I say it a lot now because my wife says it. So I say it and I make sure that I say it to my kids, but it's still a weird little, I say it in all right, guys, love you. See you later. Because I'm like, man, this is weird, because I want to focus on the showing, the action.
But yeah.
So she's marriage has changed me in that. So I'm going to read another definition of value systems. Let me make sure I've gone through them all. I said it's the set of cultural, and I read that one. Let me see. I read that one. Okay, I think I read them. So our value systems ultimately shape us, how we live and how we think and what we do and why we do it. I'm going to give you mine, then I'll open it up back up to you all. My number one is love. Two is honor. Three is respect. Four is power. Five is money. And it's funny because I'm thinking back to how, the boys in the school and the girls asked me how I came up with mine. And I was like, I don't know. I just know that I really only do the stuff that I love to do. And there was a point in my life, working young man, first job, I was getting offered a promotion and I didn't want the job because I knew the job would take me away from doing the things that I love. And that was communicating with people. It was at Target. So I'm working on the sales floor with people, guests, engaging. They was going to put me in the back room, five people all day in the dark. And I was like, I don't want to be back there. And they were throwing money like, hey, we're going to give you a raise. This is going to, put you in another. And they couldn't understand why I was not moved by it. So much so that the store manager, she was a Black lady, she called my mom. She was like, call your mom, put her on the phone. I called her. I'm in her office and she's talking. She's like, I'm offering your son more money. And he's telling me I don't want it. And she, you know, my mom, she's like, well, I tell you what, if he's telling you he don't want it, you don't want to give it to him. But I'm offering more money. He don't care about that. And I hear her saying that. It was never a thought in my mind, but when she said it, it made sense. She was like, he's not moved by money, so you can't wave that in his face. So for me, money has always been last, because it doesn't, like you guys said, it's just a tool. And I see it, but I want love, I want honor, I want respect, power, you know, whatever. That might be last, but I think money for me is last. Love first, because like the first speaker said, you know, God is love. I try to be a man of God and do the things of God. So love is always going to be my driving force. And then honor, you know, I try to honor my parent, my mother and father, honor my grandparents, honor everybody, really. Respect, I'm all about that. You know what I mean? Like I tell people, even if you disrespect me, I'm not going to disrespect you. Like, that's just not how we're going to do this. I tell students that. But, you know, we might pull back. Power, I don't really know what that looks like. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, I've been supervisor. I've been managers. I didn't rule by power. I ruled by love. But then, like I said, money for me is last. And it's funny because that's, I understand it now. Because I think, like you said, we grow up and we never lacked for anything. We grew up in Watts. I didn't understand. I think I didn't understand people. I had a dinner every night. I had dinner every night. I had breakfast every morning if I wanted it. I had the clothes that I wanted, the shoes, because we never lacked for anything. But I never knew the importance of it because my mom, never shared money talk with us. I just knew stuff was taken care of, so I never thought it. But now I tell people that I understand having money. And I only understand it now and the comforts of having more money than not necessary, but what you had. You know, and I said it before, because my mom passed away, she left us money. I had one car for 13 years. With the money that she gave, I was able to buy a second car. And I'm like, wow, wow. I see the value of it a little bit more now. Because now I'm not worried about when my car break down. Take it to the shop. How much is it going to cost? They tell me, cool, no problem. Here you go. Because of the money, right? So I was like that. I tell the boys that changed my views on it because it's now there. But it's still not higher than anything else, but I appreciate it more. The tool is helpful even more because now there's more of it that I didn't even have to work for, technically. You know what I mean? So, but that's my value system. And again, like as you guys are speaking, I went back and forth with money and power because I'm like, I like what he said. Is it that? Is it for me? I'm trying to figure it out still. So who's next? Who wants to
share? I wanted to go to the ladies. We have two ladies on here. So, Dr. Sharita, do you want to unmute? Don't look like she wants to. She might be just listening. Okay, Sister Linda.
Yeah, I'm here, and I'm listening also, and it's very deep and interesting, and I like this. And the only thing I want to say is my order would be first respect, love, honor. The money is met is always last for me. But I want you to continue where he was staying because it's very interesting.
What about power? Is that number four for you, Linda?
Yes, power would be number. Yes, power.
So that. You got respect before love. Is that true?
Yes.
You want to talk about that?
No, I don't know because I'm trying to think of the words because I'm absorbing what he and you were saying, so I have no words for it right now. I have to think a little bit more.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm learning to think before I speak these days.
It's all good. Appreciate you being here, Ernest. You were going to say something next.
Well, I'm kind of on the page with Linda because love is it's kind of hard to love something you don't respect. And then I put kind of first on my list would probably be love, because the love of family. I've always been in a family where everybody always said, I love you. Mm-hmm. And before you left the room or went out that door, they were saying I love you and, you know, be careful. And, mm-hmm. and I recall my mom came here from Texas in 1923. And all they really worried about was enough money for gas, because during those days you could find any black person's home in any city and get something to eat. Mm-hmm. Food, you know, because, and my dad, when he came out in 1930, it was the same deal. If you just found out, you know, the ghetto like area, well, it wasn't called ghetto then, but the in the area where blacks live, you could go to about anybody's house and they would feed you. You know, it was no problem. And then, you know, when come like nowadays, I kind of find it, I'd probably put money on the bottom of my list, because it's kind of hard to, you know, respect and honor. It's kind of almost on an even keel with me, because I might respect someone for, you know, the accolades and things they've done, but I'm not necessarily going to honor them until I find out what kind of person they are, you know, because I've been on this earth for quite a while now, like 87 years, and I can honestly look back in my life and I can't find anyone that I could say I genuinely dislike or hated. You know, I've always, you know, respected them and become fond of them and real good friends. And I love my friends just like I do my family. And anything I could do to help a friend, I would do. I'd go out of my way to do it. And I was just brought up that way from my mom and my dad. I guess that's why my dad kind of got in the NAACP in Long Beach. He formed that branch in 1940, and he was always trying to help people. And we always had strangers at our dinner table, because my mom would feed anybody to come over there if they were hungry. They left, when they left our home, they were full, you know. And even I talk to my brother now, my youngest brother, he's 10 years younger than I am, and he even says, man, I don't remember when we sat down to dinner and it was just the family. It was always somebody else at the dinner table. And I said, well, that's right. It's always been that way, you know. So I guess that's part of my value system, the way I was brought up. So if I respect somebody, then that can turn into honor, you know, being for other people. So with me, that's kind of how I put it up, but love would be the number one, because like you say about honor thy father and thy mother so that thy days will be long. So I believe that. And so with me, that's about it for me too. So, you know, and as you get to know people, you become more fond of them, and then you learn to love them. So.
I appreciate that. 87. Wow. I appreciate that. I want to ask, where were you born? Were you born in California? Were you born in
California, Wilmington? Yeah, I was born over there in 1938. And then when I was about 6 months old, my dad and mom moved back to Long Beach. They were already in Long Beach, but, you know, married people, if you were black in Long Beach, if you didn't own property or know someone, you couldn't rent here. Like, they had one boarding house on 12th and Martin Luther King, 12th Street, and it's still existing there on the southeast corner of that block. And a man named Mr. Levi Howard owned it. He came here like in 1919, and he bought a property, you know. Yeah. And he would rent the blacks. And then the problem was, you had to be single to stay there. If you were a married person, you couldn't live in Long Beach. So my mom and dad found a place on Cerritos and 20th. If you're familiar with Long Beach, you see where I'm coming from right now. And my mom and dad went, they got married in 1934, and they went there to rent a house. And the people said, okay, give the guy a deposit. And they went and bought bleach and Purex and cleaning it up and stuff. And then the next day, the landlord came and said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to give you your rent money back. I said, because the neighbors don't, now this was whites in there then. Mm-hmm. Said the neighbors don't want any Negroes living in the neighborhood. And so they ended up going to Wilmington because my dad, you know, had a ball club and a lot of guys, you know, were from Wilmington. Said, man, there's a place up where we know a place. So I ended up being born in a house down the street from Bannon Park, you know, Rubidoux and Stanford.
Wow.
My house is still there. So my sister and I was born there, and then that was in 34. They stayed to 38, and then they came to Long Beach, you know. So,
wow. So
Long Beach, you know, was kind of, it was really something then. They just isolated blacks to the one area, you know.
Wow. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. 87. Wow. All right. Let me see. I think I saw something in the chat.
That's Brother Mashinda.
Yes. You have the floor, sir.
Good evening, brother. Welcome back.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Well, just like you said earlier, you know, listening to everybody, you know, I kind of changed minds around. I kind of modified my initial order. And actually, it was probably the first two. You know, just listening to everybody, it kind of had an influence on my thinking as far as, you know, perspectives on what we're talking about. But, you know, I thought about honor, you know, like I said, because I honor those Most High, my parents, you know, influencers on me, people that had influence on me, I, you know, honor. It's kind of like a, you know, it's almost like a, before I say anything, I like to honor those who came before me, my ancestors, people who have opened doors and things like that, you know, and that created that sent love to me, you know. So the honor, so it's kind of like a, you know, I know love is God and God is love. Like, you know, I think it's a universal notion, no, or not just a notion, but a truth. But at the end of the day, honor, I like to honor, you know, the folks that taught me how to love. And when you learn love and when you understand what love is, then it a benefit from love is respect. You become respectful as a person and you pass that on, you know, you pass that energy on. So it all stems from one from the other, you know. So you have love, and out of love comes respect. And then power is an influence. You can have a negative influence or a positive influence. So power encompasses it all as well, because once you become a person that knows how to love and knows how to respect, you can become powerful. We didn't say egotistical. We didn't say chauvinistic. We didn't say disrespectful. We saying that you become without you even wanting to become, but you become a energy source for others. And that's power. You can convey the love and respect to others. And so that's, it's just as important, or it's just a derivative from love and respect. And then, you know, then money is just a fringe benefit of all of your hard work and things. Because like the brother said earlier, a few people iterated that and reiterated that money's a tool. It's a necessity in our survival as we know it. Now, there's other ways that we can survive and go off the grid and do different things. But in practical sense that, you know, I get up and I still go to work every day. And I do that because of the love that I have for, you know, I guess you can just say humanity. You know, I don't want to be corny, but it's just, you know, I have to eat and keep my lights on and help out and contribute to the household. However, but I enjoy what I do, kind of, you know, similar to what you have you conveyed to us over the last several times that you've come on the show, that you have a passion for what you do. And I do as well. And that comes out of the love, you know, because, and so back to honor, I honor those who taught me and showed me the way and that are continuously showing me or influencing me, having influences on me. And I'm trying to maintain a certain altitude and a certain frequency to where I can maintain the respect and contribute to society. But the money thing, like I say, at the end, the money is just a benefit that you will have. It'll come to you if you know, with all the other things that you have in place. You have the creativity to create resources for yourself, you know, that kind of thing. So money's a resource. And so I don't have anything bad. Everything that we're talking about can be weaponized to a certain degree, or you could use it from in a negative sense. But, you know, but from a love space, I like to say that, you know, so. But that's kind of off the cuff, you know, how I feel about it.
All right.
Awesome. I think you I'm looking at my list again.
Okay, well, while you're looking, let's go to Brother Iration. Brother Iration, got to unmute. Are you there, Brother Iration? Okay, well, he must be just listening. We can go to Professor Amun-Ra.
My dying, everybody. And can y'all hear me?
Yep.
Yes.
First of all, I say appreciation, Damon, for your efforts to, you know, present a very complex and
unknown caller,
very complex and challenging value system. But without putting them in context, it's very hard to call them values. They're just terms to be interpreted. Mm-hmm. And you don't put, you know, you got religious values, you got cultural values, you got, you know, individuals making up their own value system, things of this nature. So, I mean, you're talking to young people, you know, most of them most people have been saying, you know, they're shaped by their environment, by their parents, and by what they see in the environment as far as influencing them, as far as how they have a value for these things. I mean, to me, you know, I look at things from an Afrocentric perspective, of course, and to me, these terms are very, very challenging. When you say love, I mean, without putting it in context, as far as the meaning of love, and then you know, you're letting people draw their own definition. Mm-hmm. You know, what does love mean to you? You understand? And then you try to coach them into sometimes getting a better perspective. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing for young people. But for many of us that's old, that have seen each, every one of them terms have been abused and misused. And the people that were misusing them and abusing them, that was their values. You know? And to them, they're not wrong. It's like people in the penitentiary, I suppose, the only thing I'm guilty of is getting caught. And so when you say love, I mean, you know, you got to put it in a contextual standpoint of what it means. You know, we practice Nguzo Saba from Kawino, which It says, unity in the home, unity in the community, unity spiritually, mentally, and we put it in a context, be holistic. But when it's not holistic, it's going to be like a shotgun. And Brother Ernest knows, a sawed-off shotgun, it just spreads, you understand? And as far as respect, you have to earn everything that you get, those values that you said. Mm-hmm. You have to earn love. The more love you give, the more love you receive, if it is practiced in a principled and ethical way. If those terms don't have ethics behind them, ethics, and I think that's what you're getting to with young people. He is introducing the term and trying to cultivate some ethics to go with the term that would make them matriculate within the society better. But at the same time, we know that there are plenty of pitfalls. Here's a president that had power, and you had one of the things, power, and look what he's doing with it. Mm-hmm. You understand? We tell our kids, don't get arrested. This man gets convicted on 39 counts, and he gets to be president. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then you look at when we was coming up, the pimps and the hustlers were admired. Mm-hmm. You understand? Because what they had, materialism, they had money. They flashed their money. And some of them went to penitentiary, some of them got killed. But it's like in that New Jack City movie, the guy said, look, I don't care how young I am when I die, as long as I die rich. You know what I mean? So you're dealing with space and time. I think that what was the values 20 years ago, 30 years ago, may not be the same values today. We wouldn't deal with transgender things 20 years ago. You were just a homosexual. That's just it. Gay, you understand? Now they got rights, but they struggled for it. You understand? And the same thing that he and everybody was saying, like Machine was saying, you have to earn your money, you understand, in a righteous way, though. Not, if you want to deal drugs, be a pharmacist. Not a street drug dealer. You understand? But they're doing the same thing. But one is, you're selling stuff and you don't know what the effects it's going to have on people. Whereas if you follow the prescription, it's supposed to be done for health reasons. You understand? And so, and even though they have side effects on all drugs, my point is that without contextualizing each of those terms, respect and things of this nature, the kids, to me, they're going to see too many contradictions. Too many contradictions. And I've seen parents say, why are they beating their kids? You're going to respect me. Why are they beating them? Well, what are you going to say? Yeah, I respect you, just stop beating on me. I mean, but if you earn it with love and caring, yeah, I respect my mom and dad because they gave me love and they fed me and they stuck it out. They didn't get a divorce. They didn't get separation. They didn't leave us. You understand? They put us first. You understand? That's one way. But when you just say, hey, look, you're going to respect me because I'm grown. Mm-hmm. And that's what we used to tell kids. You respect all adults. Mm-hmm. You understand? No matter how bad they were. So it's very challenging for me because, I taught ethics and value. And so I know that there's a lot more to it than just terms for the person to interpret, because you're going to get the variety of answers that you've gotten from the young people. But you use it as a conversation piece to strike up conversation. And hopefully that you can get them to think about putting some ethics and morality behind each and every one of them terms. Mm-hmm. You understand? Because bullies got the power to hurt people. Mm-hmm. And power is the social capacity to realize your will in opposition to others, or your capacity to realize your will with even though people trying to stop you, but you really accomplish that will. But you know, you wouldn't have wars if people, you know, had values that said no fighting and no killing. And when they do come up with those values, they did what they did, made Martin Luther King a martyr. Mm-hmm. You understand? Made Malcolm a martyr. Mm-hmm. You understand? The white folks said they were assassinated. We said they knew they were going to die. George Floyd, he became a martyr, but he didn't intend to be a martyr. Mm-hmm. His death, the way he died, and the symbolism galvanized people, and they give him martyrdom. That's why they built a square behind him. It's the place where he was killed, did that. But he didn't intend that. Mm-hmm. Malcolm and Martin knew that they were going to get killed.
Yeah.
You understand? They even said it to each other. So, you know, it's a different thing. But I enjoy listening to everybody. And listening, like I told Rashiki, I like to learn. I learned a lot. But at the same time, I just say you have to put it in for us that's educated and have lived the experience. Like Ernest said, he's 88 years old. I mean, three. Four, yeah. He said, what you going to tell him? You know, look at him, he's taking care of his wife. You understand? He loves his brothers and sisters. They come from a deep political activist family and a cultural family. They were taught not just what does love mean to you. Mm-hmm. This is, you got to put it in a value system. You understand? An ethical system. That's all. That's all. But it was enjoyable listening.
I appreciate that. I think I'm wondering. You, Professor Ra, you started. I want to use the term you said. Did you say you see it from an Afrocentric perspective? Is that the word?
Yes.
Gotcha.
Okay. I mean, it comes from my culture.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not going to love the way white folks love. When I got married, I had an African wedding. You understand? We created our own value. Mm-hmm. It wasn't no dun, 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 throwing rice and all that stuff. No, we did it our way. You understand? We created our own value, and we discussed our terms before we got married.
Yes.
You know, this is how, you know, I mean, that's what longevity is. And we wanted to be together. You got to want to be together. That's how people stay together. They want to be together. That's when they're ready to sacrifice. Be patient and let the other one flourish as they flourish, let you flourish. But mm-hmm. other than that, you know, and you have the same goals and things as nature. Now, if your goal is just to get rich by any means necessary, well, man, that's deep. You understand?
Yes.
You know, I have a partner. He said, the reason I rob banks, because I don't want nobody else between me and the money. So mm-hmm. I go where the money at, and I just take the money. I don't want to go through three or four hands. You understand? I'm just saying, man, in this country, those terms are abused, misused. They act like they love the Indians and what happened. You understand? They like when they went to Africa. They came in with the Bible, and as they always said, when they left, the Africans had the land when they came, and they came with the Bible. When they left, the Africans had the Bible, and they had the land. You understand? People misuse those concepts. That's all that I'm saying.
No, I appreciate that. And I think, like you said, part of it is with young people, helping them understand the term, like you said, because they respect different things. I've had conversations with students who respect. I got a kid who's in prison now for murder. They respect him. At least he didn't run. That's what they say. At least he didn't run. So they have a level. I'm not, and so we'll have that conversation. Like, what does that mean? And you know, I share my thoughts with them. I like to let them share their how they see it so that I can get a better view of who they are, what respect means to them. I had a kid, I'll say this and I'm going to let Dr. Sharita go. I had a kid who was sneaking vaping in the room with me. So I'm like, hey, we're not going to vape in the room with me. I'm asking you not to. So I know the young lady. So, you know, 3 weeks later, she's hiding to vape. So I say, hey, at this point, I'm seeing it as disrespect because I asked you not.
Why, ask me a question. Why didn't you just, well, I couldn't tell you what to do because you were a guest, you were there, and you wanted to keep the kids together.
Yeah.
But as a teacher,
yes,
you have to command your classroom. In other words, they know before they come in they couldn't do certain things. I've been up there at the Centennial with Rasha Key often.
Yeah.
The students knew they had to be in their seat when that bell rang because he's going to lock the door. You understand? I mean, that's a different thing. You know, what you're doing is trying to get people to behave when, you know, that's in a school context.
Yeah.
But what about at home? What about in the street? The mark of a person with values is that they keep the same values no matter where they are. You understand?
Yes.
No matter where they are. And you can't let kids formulate their own.
Yes.
You have to teach them righteous values.
Yes.
These are learned behaviors. Because if you let as McBride would say, you know, he said, honor thy mother and father, so my days will be long. But also, you may be in the world, but don't be of the world.
Yes.
You understand? You want to change the world. Don't let the world change you.
Yes.
It's a different struggle, man. I mean, my kids couldn't even leave the block.
Yeah.
I mean, you understand? They never walked to a store.
Mm-hmm. You
understand? They were always supervised. If an adult wasn't there, come in the house. You understand? Because I understood the environment. You understand? And it's like having a swimming pool with a bunch of little kids and don't take protection apparatus to make sure nobody gets drowned.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm because we from the street. You from the street.
Yeah.
And you did the things that you don't want your kids to grow up and do.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? That's a whole new different consciousness. In Detroit, man, that's a whole new different world. Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia. But they got areas, whew, man, you know, it's a whole new different game out there when people are trying to survive.
Yeah.
You know, but that's all.
No, I understand. Like you said, I was, I use it as an opportunity to talk about respect because like we had a conversation, the kids are like, no. Well, most of them, some of them, she's respecting you by hiding. And I'm like, no, she's disrespecting me because I asked her not to do it. But so it's a conversation. Well, she's not doing it in your face. I'm like, but it's still disrespect because I've asked her not to. So it was a great conversation for them to learn, and they walked out with like, okay, I see what you're saying. What were you saying, Professor?
No, I was saying, you're taught to respect your parents, but we know there are kids that don't. You understand? And so you have to be, it's more than just telling them what to do. You got to coach them. You got to supervise them. You got to be on top of it. You got to learn their language.
Yes.
And learn what they're exposed to. And you got to be in shape physically, mentally, and spiritually yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can't tell your kid, don't do something, and they see you with a weed box up under the bed. You understand?
Yeah.
Or a refrigerator full of beers and alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, how you going to tell them don't drink?
Mm-hmm. You
know? So. You know, it's a lot that goes into what you're saying, bro.
Yeah.
Because you don't know what they're around. And a large percentage of the kids you're talking to, and in this urban area, they don't even live with their biological parents.
Yeah. That's true. I see Dr. Sharita put hers in. Do you want to share why you placed them in that order, doctor?
It was hard to kind of, greetings everyone. It was hard to kind of put it, love was was easy for me, but the rest of them, I just kind of put it in an order. So, because words are spells, that's why we spell our words.
Mm-hmm.
And it only is a word if two or more people agree on this definition, right? So, love, I put love first because I'm coming from a healer's point of view. I realized some time ago that most of my perspectives on life is as a healer.
Mm.
And love is a healer.
Mm.
It's when I talk about life essentials, top 10, I put love at zero. And then I start at one with mm-hmm. water. So love, because you just have to love yourself just enough to be able to care for yourself and care for other people around you.
Mm.
And love does heal. I know the difference between when my father was in an accident, for example, he's in the hospital, 6 weeks we're there, just me and him. My mother came a little bit later than left. And then my brother came one day and left. But when we brought him back to, brought him back home, he started to make a change right away because he had all the family around. He was in his own space. And I know that love definitely made a difference in his healing.
Mm.
When I'm talking to my clients, I'm speaking to them from a love perspective. So when they're coming in, they might feel like they don't have any hope for what's ever going on with them, especially if it's something terminal. But I express with love, from a, I guess, nurturing point of view to where when they leave, they feel like at least they got some hope, you know, for what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that right there starts the healing. Power is something that I've been talking about maybe within the last year. I was talking to one of my sisters. And I was like, you know what? I need energy, but I need power because I have a lot of responsibility. I have a lot of responsibility and I have a lot of people that I'm responsible for. So, it's kind of hard for me to articulate power, but I guess to give an example is I want to be so healthy and strong that whenever I step into a space where a person is sick, that they all of a sudden become well. That's kind of how I see, you know, power. I think people look at power as an abusive word because it's going around that way. But I like the brother earlier when he was talking about Malcolm X and people like that. It does have a certain influence. So power to be able to handle any situation, whether I've been prepared or trained for it, or something that just comes straight from my intuition. You know, so that's kind of how I see power. Money I see as part of abundance. So I put money to represent abundance because yes, it might be a tool, but it's been a tool that helped me a lot in life. I mean, growing up with, you know, a parent who became a multimillionaire and then we have land, we have, you know, access to health, to cure any disease. You know what I'm saying? This is what we did or what we studied or what we researched and be able to deal with our clients and to be able to live, have a lifestyle is, you know, money came from that. We created a product, you know, out of that. So I know what money can do. I have to pay for my plane tickets to go back and forth to Ghana for the last 20 years. That takes money. You know what I'm saying? It takes money for me to be able to eat, to be able to, and that's not always because if I'm in Ghana, I can always exchange with somebody. So I have this, you have that. I need this, you got that. So we got that bartering system. But I look at money as abundance. And then respect. Yeah, you want the respect, I guess, in certain terms to make things easier. Like, for example, with your children. Well, let me just use myself as an example. When I was younger, my father was a powerful healer. He was a great healer, the late, great Dr. Paul Goss. And when I was younger, I didn't respect what he did. I thought he was off and crazy. It's like, why are you doing this? And nobody else is doing it. Like, I don't even understand why we're not eating meat. Why we're not, you know, you want us to go to Afrocentric schools. It's like, nobody else is doing that. You know what I'm saying? So, but then it was later that I came to respect him based on people giving their experience of being really, really sick. And the doctors telling them they only have 6 months to live. And then they telling me 20 years later, you know, that they're still living. You see what I'm saying? So then the respect came, like, oh, okay. And then, of course, the honor, you know, came after that. I feel like that's something you should be honorable, but I'm not, I don't think I really care if people honor me. Because, again, using my father's example, they honored him, but then when he was in this bad car accident and he was, you know, all broken up, all these people that honored him, like, y'all didn't even show up to say hi. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I guess honor as in maybe my children, but as far as society, I don't think I really care whether I'm honored or not. Honorable, but, I don't feel like you need to, I don't think I care if anybody honors me. Because I know, I guess my, at the end of the day, I talk to my, in the morning, I talk to my ancestors and ask them, did I do okay? I guess that's the only people I look for to be honored by. And they will let me know, yes, you did good, or no, you did not. It'll come through some kind of sign. Somebody will speak, a phone call, might be watching a movie, come through a message, you know, it will come. So that's where I look for the honor. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, this is a long conversation. I'm pretty sure everybody can speak more or elaborate more on it, but I just wanted to kind of give my feedback because I was... I was called and told you need to talk. I'm not gonna say by who, but y'all can probably guess. so I put my little piece in there.
No, I appreciate it. I think it it added more value to it, and I know you, but. I feel like I know you now because it made sense, everything that you said, and your order makes sense. And I think one of our definitions of value systems is experiences, you know, so you saw your father go through that and you saw the treatment and you saw, but then even with yourself, how you said you didn't respect it until you saw it, like, oh, wow. So I think that just speaks to the experiences, the shared experiences, how we come to these things. And again, like your definition of power and Mashinda's definition of power, I got an asterisk by mine. So now I got to think, I want to move it up, but, you know, because my heart is influence. My heart is influence. I want to influence students. I want to influence people. And that's power, you know, when you can influence it. Like you said, my mind was sort of what Professor Ra was saying. You know, people that we see in power and abuse it, I was almost stuck in that space. I don't want that. I don't need that. But I want to influence. And I didn't really see it that way until I didn't connect the two until you two Dr. Sharita and Mashinda spoke about it in that sense. And it said, hold on, I need to move that up because that's really what I wanna influence. That's like one of my heart's passions is to influence. I was talking to a young man. It's like, man, how can we, you know, I'm like, you know, I'm 47. How can we really influence you? How could we have influenced the young man so that he wouldn't be in prison today? What could we have done? And he shared with me, like, these are my thoughts on how you can influence us or me, people like me. And I was like, okay, like Professor Ra, like it takes, you got to be in shape. You got to be willing to go that journey, but that's what I want to do. But I didn't see power like that until tonight. So you guys have changed my view of power. Professor Rod changed my view, because I was just thinking, this is what power is. This is what it looks like. It's been abused. It's been used and misused. But no, it should be how I see it and how I want to use it is influence. So thank you for sharing. So whoever called you, I thank you. Thank them. And like I said, yeah, the point of the conversation was to have that open discussion, and hopefully we can influence others' opinions and say, you know what, that made sense, and I can move that up or move it down. I'm even looking at money, because money was the highest, I think, on our list of anybody's list from Dr. Sherita. Money was the highest. He had it at 3. Everybody else probably had it at 4 or 5. So thank you for that. Was there anyone else?
We are trying to see if Brother Iration want to chime in.
Huh?
Brother Iration. Brother Iration? He's on mute, so I don't know what happened. Okay. All right.
So if not, I got one more question, and then we're done. And the last question is this. If you can add anything to the list and put it number one, what would that be? If you can add, like in your value system, if you can add anything to this list and put it at number one, what would that value be? So she says health. Health is important, right? Health is important. So that would be her above it all, health. I'm with that. Thank you. So you guys can throw it in the chat or just unmute yourself.
If you don't have health, you don't have anything. You don't have anything if you don't have health. Mm-hmm. Some of the richest men in the world are very sick and they can't even buy it. Mm-hmm. But if they could buy it, that would be the first thing that they would buy is their health. You can't exist without health. No, the people who are not healthy or not feeling good right now can't be on this call
because
they're not feeling good.
Mm.
You can't go to work. You can't go to school. You can't, you know what I'm saying? I have somebody, a coworker that's in the hospital, lung cancer, 4th stage, and just had a stroke. He was just working 10 hours a day just before, 2 weeks ago. Now he can't do anything. He can't even speak to his health. Health is number one. You don't have anything if you don't have your health.
Awesome. I got a text from a guy tonight saying, man, if I could, he had to leave work early because his sinuses were knocking him down. He was like, I had to leave work early, so I can't log in, but I wish I could, but I can't. So yeah, that's health. Somebody agreed with her. All right, any other things that you guys would put on the list above the 5 that I gave you?
I can't say above, but mental power, mind power, the mentality, healthy mentality. So health along with mental health.
Mm-hmm.
Mental health. I don't know if I could put it. You can't put it number one, but. I mean, it's like I always say, we're impressionable people. All people are impressionable from their environment. So if we're in healthy, thriving environments, that's, you know, environmental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just want to put some of that in there, but I don't think it's number one because you acquire that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's important because this is why a lot of people are in the position they're in, because of the influence of an unhealthy environment causes them to be unhealthy. So,
yeah, I agree, because I think when I pray every day, I think one of my prayers is I thank God that I'm in my right mind.
Are you really?
Yes, sir. Because if I wasn't, then I couldn't love the way I want to love. I couldn't honor, respect. I couldn't do the things that I valued doing if I wasn't truly in my right mind. So I'm adding that to my list, and we'll see where I place it.
Well, I know you're a good brother, and I've seen your work, and I, you know, appreciate you always being here.
Yes,
and
sir.
Sharing with us.
Awesome, awesome, fun time.
I got anybody some... else, Brother Mashinda, Professor Rye, Waze, Linda, Ahi, Ernest.
Yeah, one thing you kind of mentioned that about environmental health, and it kind of brought to mind, I was just talking with my wife, and they talked to Trump and them taking all environmental protections away from us. And we used to, part of my job, I worked at the Naval Shipyard for like 34 years. So part of my job was taking ships out on electronic tests and test the radar systems and the gun systems and stuff. And we would always bet on, we get out of sight of land where you couldn't see the coastline, maybe 100 miles out, and then have somebody guess, where do you think Long Beach is? The old days in the 60s, you could look along, you know, on a pretty clear day, it would be kind of grayish looking, you know, looking along, and then pretty soon you come to this kind of yellowish hue, plume, like in this one spot. And that was Long Beach, because that was the smog to sit over the city. Wow. It was like that till I went out on my last sea trials in the 90s. And you looked there and you could no longer see that. So the smog abatement stuff was working. And I said, now they're going back to the old way, you know, because you never know what you're breathing, you know. That just kind of brought back memories there.
That's health. Wow.
Well, any last words, Brother Damien?
No, again, I just thank you guys for engaging in the conversation. I learned a lot. I learned a lot about, you know, your value system, but it gave me food for thought for my own. And I think you started off with, you know, being educators and always learning and looking to learn. I think that's why, you know, these conversations are important, because we can learn from each other and we can make some adjustments from what we hear from each other on a short notice. I think I'm always mindful that the mind is, it could be changed. It could be changed at a drop of a dime. You know what I mean? And I love that about the mind, that I can change my mind. And I think I've changed my mind on a couple of things tonight, hearing from you all. So I'm grateful for that.
Fluctuating thoughts.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Well, Professor Rod, do you have anything for next week, I guess? Professor Rye?
Yeah.
Do you have a guest for next week?
Yeah, but I can't remember who it is. I'll call you tomorrow.
Okay, that's fine. So next Wednesday, folks, we have Larisha Speaks, and her topic is racism and the courts. So that'll be our topic for next week. I'd like to thank you, Brother Damien McCallman.
Yes,
coming
sir.
Out again, and hopefully we see you soon.
Yes, sir.
I want to thank everybody for coming out, participating. Excellent show. And we're going to do this again real soon. Each one teach one, and Conscious Corner. Everybody continue to have a wonderful day.